And I am. Oh, the recording just started. I'll start over. This is Marie J. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And I live in Louisville, Colorado, just outside of Boulder in the beautiful Rocky Mountains. And I realized a few minutes ago, you know, when I start any kind of speaking engagement, and I've been doing this stuff a long time, right? And speaking a long time, but I still get a little bit of that nervousness, you know, that nervousness, that performance anxiety and how I'm going to show up to people and how my ego is going to be fed. And, you know, I just forget for a moment who's in charge. You know, I think I'm in charge and my ego just wants to be fed. It wants to be nurtured. It wants you to love me. And I just need to out myself because I am also a spiritual being. I'm also spirit. I'm also an extension of this beautiful thing we call higher power or God energy or source. And when my ego is loud and insistent that I have to be a certain way and I have to show up in a certain way, that's the moment I get to make the decision they ask me to make in the third step. And oops, I'm so sorry. And that decision is to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. And so even though it's really normal, even after a long time of recovery, to get a little nervous around things and have upsets in my day and my life, it only takes an instant to remember who I am. I'm a spiritual being, an extension of this power. And that's all I need to know. I'm not in charge. So I'll just say right now, I've already made that decision and God is in charge. And in this moment, I'm now connected to God. And so that's what I'm going to talk about. And I'm just really honored to be asked to be here because I just love these Zoom meetings and I love talking about the steps in the big book. And the third step is an especially good one for me, as it is, I know, for everybody, because it's difficult to keep making that decision to give my will and my life over to God every day. And for me, it's really many, many, many times a day, hundreds of times a day. Every time I have to step into something difficult or every time something comes up that gives me a little discomfort, every minute of every day, God has to be brought in consciously. So when I came into OA, which was 8 years ago, just over 8 years ago, I had already had many years of adult children of alcoholics and Al-Anon and Codependents Anonymous. And I didn't really know I was an addict until 8 years ago when I came in. So I never got into the big book until 5 or 6 years ago. And I'm also a big vision fan, as Nancy said, because I got into the big book in the vision meetings. So it's no different than any other OA meeting, except there's a focus on recovery through these steps. And it was only when I got into the big book that I got recovery through the steps. And so I just, I've been in OA for 8 years, but I just passed my fifth year of abstinence. And working the big book was the key. Working the steps through the big book was the key to maintaining my abstinence. So my first 3 years weren't bad though. You know, I was in the rooms. We weren't really working in the big book, but I had all the tools of the OA meetings and all the books, and I had great success. I lost 80 pounds. I was, you know, kind of the poster child. I went to 6 meetings a week. I had incredible fellowship. But what I realized is, first of all, I relapsed twice in those first 3 years, and they weren't long relapses. And the last relapse was right before I started working in the big book. And it was literally two spoonfuls of something with sugar in it. And I was abstinent from sugar. And I stopped immediately and was abstinent a moment later. And I was just going to let it go. And it took 3 very painful days, to get honest, because I know that if I'm not honest, that will just take off. You know, one little bite becomes two little bites. And the next thing you know, I got my face down in a Costco cake. And so it took 3 days to get honest. And I knew I just had to come clean to myself. So honesty with myself first, and second to God, and third to my sponsor. Or I would continue to live as a victim. I lived from 1993, when I started the other programs that I was in, I still lived as a victim. I thought I was a victim of those other situations, the victim of my alcoholic family, my alcoholic father, victim of relationships, victim of codependency. And so I didn't get out of being a victim until that last relapse. And that was 5 years ago in October. In fact, it's, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And what I noticed in that was that there was a lot of shame in that last relapse, because I had started working in the big book and I was getting to the point where I was almost ready to sponsor and I was ready to share what I had learned. And then I relapsed out of the blue, and I had everything. I had the weight loss. I had the recovery. And what happened, you know? I don't know. It just happens. That's what happens. We get this mental twist and it happens. And I think it's okay. And I can handle it. And I rest on my laurels. And then there you go. But how I reacted, how I responded is what's powerful here. The failure and the sense of shame that I went into, that I spun into, was what was powerful. And that is self. That's going back to being self-reliant, in control, not God-reliant. And it's totally against what the third step says we need to do. But it wasn't a loss. And so going to failure and shame is unnecessary, I know now. It's what my ego does, but that was part of my journey to freedom. So I know now that the relapses that I had to happen for me to get humility and for me to begin to understand what it takes to make a decision to turn my will and my life, my whole life, every single decision. And in that moment of shame, I had a decision to make, but I didn't make it in that moment. I made it in the next moment, or 3 days later, when I came clean on it all and got honest. You know, who's going to run my life? Am I going to keep jumping in to my life with self-reliance? Or am I finally going to decide that God can do a better job than me? And that freedom and happiness is just on the other side of my willingness to let go of me being in control of my life. And it takes time. It takes a while, you know, and now that I'm on the other side of it and I'm not perfect by any means, I still fall down and have to pull myself up. I don't eat over it. I don't use over it, you know, but I still have a painful journey sometimes. And that's when I have those moments of, okay, who's going to be in charge here? Am I going to take control and be self-reliant, or am I going to give it to God? And as I get more reliant on God, what I find is my desires become less and less about worldly things. And, you know, don't get me wrong, worldly things are still a big part of my life. I have a family of four. I have 14-year-old twin boys that are adolescent. They're pubescent. That's no fun. I am the sole provider for my family financially. We have a house that needs remodeling. My dad, my husband is a stay-at-home dad, and he's also a retired contractor. So he's remodeling our house, and it's all expensive. It's worldly stuff. It still needs to happen. I'm not in some Pollyanna notion that stuff doesn't happen and worldly things still need to get done. But the difference is I don't live in fear anymore about what's going to happen. I used to wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes multiple times, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't go back to bed. And I had panic attacks about how am I going to make all this happen? How am I going to manage all this? How am I going to make ends meet? how am I going to pay for college? You know, it's hard. And I'm a realtor. I'm self-employed. I have to generate all my own income. And I don't know when I'm going to get the business, and I don't know when I'm going to get a paycheck, and I don't know what's coming. And so it can be terrifying if I let it, if I'm in charge of predicting and making sure future outcomes are assured. It's impossible. I'm sorry, that's gone. And in this crazy real estate market we're having, you know, people say, oh, you must be just making millions of dollars. But the truth is, in a market like this, where there's not enough houses to sell, I'm working four times as hard and making half the money because you don't get every contract you put in. There's not multiple houses for one buyer. There's one house for multiple buyers. And so it just adds more stress. And if I let myself be in charge and be self-reliant and try to figure out how to control the future, then my life is just going to be miserable because I can't control the future. And fear of economic insecurity is a pretty big one for me, you know, because, you know, isn't it interesting that God gave me this job where I'm now 16 years self-employed and still winter comes and I go, am I ever going to sell another house? And that's just, again, shrinking into fear and getting and not making the decision to turn my will and my life over. It's shrinking into fear and ego and thinking that I can control and predict outcomes. And if I just work harder, I will get the outcome I want. And it's just all false thinking. And in fact, in 2016, I turned my business over to God. I got recovered. I was sponsoring. I got through my last relapse, and I made a decision to turn all of this over to God. And so now it's been 5 years that God's been in charge. I stopped advertising. I stopped doing everything. And I said, okay, when the phone rings, I'm going to answer it. And it's either going to be somebody that I need to help through some program question, or it's going to be business. And whatever you send to me, I will do. And I've had the 5 best years of my life financially. So this stuff works. Like, who doesn't want to do this, right? Who doesn't want to be in this place? But it didn't start there. It started with my food, and that started in 2013. But for those first 3 years, I was in control. You know, turning my food over to God didn't happen until 2016. Even though I followed and complied and went to 6 meetings a week and did my food plan, I lost 80 pounds and everybody just thought I was the picture of perfect recovery. But I wasn't. I wasn't, because I was still attached to, I have to make this happen. And I was eating in the beginning. I mean, I was obese and I was terrified to have a food plan. And I was eating a strict 3 meals a day, no snacks. And I literally, and I know some of you have got to feel this because I know I'm not alone in this. I thought I would go to bed and I would starve to death and I would not wake up in the morning. That is how deep my fear was. And I prayed all the time, but I still went to my will a lot. I still tried to control. And I didn't see this decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as freedom. I saw it as loss. I saw it as loss of will, loss of control. And if I didn't control this and control my food, then I would get fatter and fatter. I would be unhealthy. I would die. I would fail. My children wouldn't have a mother. And that's all because I didn't have a relationship with God. And in fact, I had a really terrible resentment of God. Even though I did my second step, I had a struggle in my religious upbringing. And I knew in my life, I had been so in control and so successful in every area of my life, except for food. So how could I get, why would I give up control of my success and my business and every other area of my life when food was my only problem? I didn't see that food was the solution to my life, to the life problems that I had, the insecurities that I had. And I was stressed out all the time. I had fear all the time. But I didn't know it. And I was a control freak. I was a control freak with my husband. And I was a rageaholic. And I just didn't know that I was miserable because I was just so hanging on so tight to make things happen. And I was always fighting to get in control. And I was fighting with this thinking that, well, when this happens, when X happens, then I'll be okay. And then I can do Y. I can go out and have fun and I can be happy because there was always a, when this happens, I will be able to be free, be happy. And it was completely the opposite. You know, I was a walking time bomb. I was just insecure. I was full of anxiety. And my head was always in the future or the past. It was never in the present. And that's where God is. And I had no idea what happiness was. You know, that ninth step promise, we're going to have some happiness. I didn't. And so I thought, well, okay, people want to know, well, what did I do to come to this decision to turn my life over and put God in the driver's seat? And what I realized after that second, hang on, I got to grab something. After that second relapse is that I had no idea about God. I had no understanding about God. All I had was the ideas that were given to me in my religious upbringing. And I come to find out, it took several years of really working on that relationship with God to understand that I had the wrong, false idea about God. So how can I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to this power when I thought the power was coercive and mean and punishing? And so I had to go back to my second step and change my mind, change my thinking about this power that's greater than me, that is benevolent, that is loving, that is kind, and that I am an extension of. You know, step two was just so hard because I was so angry about God and that I had this idea in my thinking, which is where everything starts, that I wouldn't let go of. I wouldn't let go of a false God. I just wanted, again, to be the victim. I am now a victim of this God that's not benevolent, and I need to stay in charge and just do the food plan and get my body I want and comply with all the things that my sponsor is saying I should do, and then I'll be fine. And I was never happy. So I really was doing a lot of compliance in those first 3 years and not surrender. And when I realized that, it was mind-blowing for me that I just thought, just give me the checklist. I remember saying that in my first few meetings. Give me the checklist because I am so strong and I am so willful. I will do that checklist. I will comply with the rules. And then I'm going to have freedom. And when I didn't, and then I relapsed, and then I didn't, and I relapsed again, I realized, oh man, there's something more than this. There's something more to this than managing my food and complying with some list of rules. And that's where the third step comes in, making a decision to surrender it all, to build this relationship with this power. And you know, I also want to be clear that that's all part of the journey. Like my first 3 years in program, I learned so much and I got so much and I fell on my face a lot. And instead of going to God, I went to shame and self-loathing because I didn't have God. I didn't have God in my life. So I had nothing to turn to that made sense to me. And so I turned to shame and perfectionism and it just took a while to build that relationship with that power. And step three is our first action step. You know, it's about making a decision and taking action in that relationship with God. It's trusting. It's having faith. It's me deciding that I am going to be in connection with that power constantly and building that relationship constantly. It's never going to be a perfect relationship. And I'm never going to be always open and willing to be in that relationship. Sometimes I'm pissed off. Sometimes I just am angry and I don't want to forgive. And that's a normal part of the journey. I can't beat myself up for not being a perfect spiritual being when I'm living in the world and stuff is coming up in the world and difficulties are coming up in the world. And I used to think that once a day was enough time to connect to God. And I'd get up in the morning, I'd do my best to meditate, and then I'd move on. But now I see that in my daily life, when stuff comes up, my immediate first reaction is to go to control. My first reaction is, how do I fix this? How do I take charge? And I'm a really powerful take charge person. And I'm a great problem solver. So how do you balance that, giving it to God, and what action do I take? And, you know, those kind of things. But it's in that relationship that I get that guidance when I'm connected. So in the moments of discomfort, can I stop in that instant and say, okay, get present. Who's in charge here? And what's the solution? The solution is always the same. The solution is always get connected. God will guide me. And if I'm in a practice of that all the time and surrendering all the time, I'm going to have a lot of success. I'm going to have some failure too, but it's the practice of it. You know, I can't just like do nothing connecting to God for a month and then I have a problem and go, okay, God, you're in charge. Fix this. How do I open up and become willing to let go of my control? You know, the big book tells us that we have a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And I used to think that one meditation a day for 5 or 10 or 20 minutes would take care of it. And now, because I'm in practice and I have a relationship with this power, I'm just in constant contact all day. Like God's sitting in the seat with me in the car, and I'm having a conversation. And sometimes that conversation is out loud. I'm just having a talk with God. Okay, here's everything that's on my mind right now. Tell me what the truth is. Remind me who I am, because I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. I'm feeling a little stressed. And I know that if I'm feeling stressed, then I'm in the past or I'm in the future. I'm not in the present moment. So bring me close, bring me into the present moment and remind me of who I am. And it takes time to build that thinking, to change that thinking. In the beginning, in my early days, because I just forget about God during the day. I'd forget about the power, you know, and I go on doing my day. And then, you know, by 3 o'clock, my back hurts, my neck hurts, because I'm all tensed up all day long, trying to push the world to do my will. And so I would set my timer on my phone, and it would go off every hour. And I did this on purpose, 8 times a day, every hour. And it would say, where's God? Where's God now? And it drove me crazy. I did it for 2 years solid. And it went off. And sometimes I'd be like, I'm sick of that. I'm just tired of that. And I'd turn it off. And sometimes I would stop and go, okay, let me connect. Let me get present. Let me find God here. And now I'm always thinking that, because I built that thinking into my system. So that's the action that I took to start shifting from how do I fix this? How do I push my will to where's God and what's God's guidance? So I can't do the third step. I can't make a decision to turn my will and control of everything in my life over if there isn't something there that I trust, that I have faith in. But it takes practice. And I have to be patient with myself. One of the other ways that works for me is a writing meditation. I write a letter to God every day. And it doesn't matter what I say. It's just about my intention to be present to God. I mean, I don't sit there and complain about everything, because that's called a 10th step. Complain and then go call somebody and find your part in it. I write a letter of gratitude of everything. I call it my what's going right list. You know, if I'm mad at my husband about 4 things he didn't do, I look for the one thing he did do, and I have great appreciation and gratitude. So I'm practicing the things that God has given me and recognizing the good that is happening in my life. And I also ask to be reminded all day long who I am, that I am an extension of this power, that this power is flowing through me all day, every day, when I allow it. And when I don't allow it, it's because I'm in resistance, or I'm in charge, or I'm in control. It's always available. It is always available to flow through me to the next person. But I stop it. I block it when I shut down my will to align myself with God, to align myself and do the work of love. So I ask to be reminded all day, every day, what am I here to do? Who am I? I am an extension of the power, doing the work in the real world here to bring love and compassion. And I also, you know, I'm not a very good meditator, quiet meditator. I have a lot of energy. I'm a big doer. I'm out in the world. So I have worked for 20 years on quiet meditation, on trying to become a meditator. And it's not my strong suit. And it doesn't have to be something that I do, but I give it a try. I give it a try to align myself and quiet my thoughts so that I can connect to the power and feel it, allow it to flow in my body, allow it to flow in my being, and help me remember that I'm an extension of it. And I just keep working at it. You know, it's all about practice. So I'm not a great meditator. Is that the end of the world? No. It's just making an effort every day, multiple times a day to connect. And sometimes what really works for me, you know, in the middle of the day, or it gets to be about 2 o'clock, you know, real estate is one of these really fast things, you know, constantly people are calling and saying, oh, this house just came on the market. Can we go see it this afternoon? Oh, can you go do this? And, you know, there's 283 things that have to be done every day. And so I can really get stressed out with all the activity and stop breathing and stop knowing that it's all okay. It's all okay if I'm not in charge. It's all going to get done. So sometimes I just take myself away, go sit in the car, or if I'm working at home, I go sit in our camper in the backyard. I just sit down, put on the heat, and sit for 5 minutes and just get present. Sometimes I'll sit on my deck and say, okay, how do I become present? How do I get connected? And I'll just start saying things out loud. Okay, I see the trees and I see the birds. There's a chickadee on the feeder. I see, you know, and I just use all of my senses to pull me into the present moment. And that's really powerful, because as soon as I do that, it's kind of explosive. Like I feel powerfully present. I stop thinking about past, I stop thinking about future, and then I feel God. I'm like, oh man, this is great. I'm present, I'm in the moment, and that's where God is. So it's just really important, like during my day, when I'm trying to pull God in all day long, to do it in the moment. When I start feeling my shoulders tense up, or I hang up and I've had a bad call with somebody, or somebody has just gotten upset with me because they didn't get the house that they put an offer in on. You know, there's just all kinds of things. And I feel responsible. I can stop and just take that instant and get back to God by getting present. So recently, and so this is more about the thinking part of this, you know, changing my thinking is part of this step. And I started recently asking God for things like better connection with my husband, a better marriage, more peace with my adolescent boys, not taking things personally when they remind me that I'm the stupidest person on the earth. And what I realize now is I don't have to wait for those things. Those things are available to me right now. I don't have to earn them. This is what I used to think. I have to earn this relationship with God. I have to earn and be a good girl and do all the things that, no, no, no. God is sitting right here with me, wanting to take over, wanting to be in alignment with me, wanting to be connected, wanting me to open up and unblock myself so I can be in connection and be in flow with all of this powerful energy. And so I think about this with my husband, this desire to connect. And I have to stop and say, well, what am I thinking? What am I thinking about this? I'm thinking it won't happen. I'm thinking that it will fail because we failed in the past. I'm thinking, well, that's been my experience and it's what I know. And so that turns into my expectation because that's what's familiar. I'm so sunk into and dug into the thoughts of the past and what happened before is going to happen again. And that's self-reliance. That's me playing God, because what I focus on is what expands in my life. If I think I'm going to fail, guess what? I'm going to fail. If I think I'm going to eat sugar or relapse, I'm gonna, because that's what has happened in the past. That's what I'm familiar with. That's actually what's more comfortable, because I don't know what God has for me. I don't know how big it is. I don't know how expansive it is. And I don't know how scary it is. So I'm afraid of it. But, oh, and then what happens is I blame God. You didn't answer my prayer. Well, my entire thinking was focused on, it's not going to happen anyway. God's not going to give it to me. That's a block. I'm not open. I'm not aligning my will with God. So, you know, of course I'm mad at God, but it's not God. It's me. It's me blocking the way. God's standing there holding everything for me to take. Every single thing I need and want is available in this instant, but I block it. So I have to toss out what I think I know. I have to toss out what I think this relationship with my husband has been and start thinking, what would it feel like? What will it feel like when I'm aligned with God and this relationship is full and robust and connected? And when I start shifting my thinking into what is possible with God, everything is possible. And I have to put my faith and my trust into something I can't predict. I want to be in control of it. I want to assure the outcome, but I can't. I just have to have faith in this step, that when I turn my life over and I unblock myself from my past thinking, that I will flow with God's guidance and God's love and all things good and all the abundance that I need. And, you know, I have an example of this recently. You know, let me take a sip. You know, these last 2 years have been hard on marriage, you know, 24/7 in the house with the husband and kids and puberty and 14-year-old boys and all of that, you know, and all three of them have ADD. So I'm super focused and super organized and super mom, and they are unfocused. And it's just that whole thing of opposites attracting, but I can go nuts, you know, and there's friction. And when my husband doesn't write things down and doesn't put dates on his calendar, you know, then I start becoming bossy and mothering, and, you know, and then I'm resentful because I'm doing everything I have to do. Why do I have to be the grown up in this family? And program tells me that I have to have acceptance, right? I have to accept and do my own work. What's my part in this, right? And I have been doing that. I've been doing it for years, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't come up, you know. The world happens and life happens and relationships happen. And of course, those people that we're in relationship with that are the closest to us, our children and our spouses, will be the biggest triggers and the biggest gifts to my learning how to make this decision to turn my will over to God. So I've wanted to go to therapy, go to marriage counseling, get an ADHD counselor, all these things for the longest time. And my husband has been very reluctant. And I just started saying, okay, God, I am so excited because I'm aligning my will with your will now. And I know that your will is for my happiness. Your will is for my connection and my ability to allow you to flow through me and be all that you are in my worldly life. And I am an extension of you. So show me how, what are the things that I need to do to fully allow you and not be the block and not be trapped in my past thinking about this relationship. And so I came around to realizing that my thinking was preventing God from fulfilling my desire, because I have free will. I can give God my will or not. So I'm asking for it, but I'm not doing the work of changing my mind about the possibility of what can happen when I turn my will and my life over to God. And I'll tell you, I did that. And now we're in counseling, we're in marriage counseling, we're in ADHD counseling, the whole family's in counseling. And it was all because I made this decision to not be in the way and to change my expectation that this outcome will fail too, because it's failed always in the past. And it happened like that, you know, it happened fast because I suddenly got that I'm the block. I'm the one in the way. I'm holding on to my thoughts about what is possible. And when I'm holding on to my thoughts about what is not possible because of my history, because of the past, then I'm playing God. I'm in charge. I'm not in charge when I make that decision to change my mind and to open myself and know that God wants to give me everything that I want. So this is the action of the step. The action is to make the decision and then unblock myself and allow myself to receive God's guidance and God's everything, abundance, love, compassion. And so what I think about now when I think about my marriage is I visualize myself in success. I visualize myself and bring God in and visualize fun and joy and freedom and the ability to communicate and connect. And guess what? That's what I'm focused on and that's what I'm getting. And it didn't even take long. God wants my happiness. That's what God's will is for me. So I wanted to talk about fear-based thinking. So this is still some more of this. How do I get to that decision? How do I make that shift? And as long as I can remember, fear was just a way of life. And I didn't really know I was in fear. Oh, did I just go away? Okay, can you still hear me? Okay, good, thanks. I didn't know I was in fear. I didn't know I was in anxiety. I just didn't know. I was just numb to it all. I was just in this other world. And when I started realizing it, I realized that fear is the absence of God. And the presence of God is in the present moment. And so I created this graph. I'm going to show it. I hope people can see it. So here it is. And this is what I call my fear timeline. So this is the horizontal line is fear, and the vertical line is love. So on the fear line, past this center point, is past, the past, my thinking, the thinking that gets stuck in the past. And that's regrets about whatever, regrets about my life, and resentments that, you know, my husband didn't do this and now I'm mad. And he hasn't done this for 18 years and I'm still mad, right? So that's my past, bringing up and dredging up my past and living in my past thinking. And the right side of this dot is future. This is my thinking, right? I'm either thinking in the past or I'm thinking in the future. And my future thinking is my worry and my anxiety. It's thinking about how can I manage and control things that I don't even know, things that haven't even happened yet. You know, how do I predict the future and then make it happen? How do I push my will onto everything, all the relationships in my life, everything that's going on in my life? How do I make it happen? That's anxiety, worry about the future. It's also the not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. And I don't have enough. That's the big, you know, the big addiction addict, you know, mantra. I'm not enough. I don't have enough. And I'm not doing enough. So no matter how good my life is, I have that underlying fear of the future and I don't have enough and I'm not enough and I'm a horrible person or, you know, whatever those underlying things are. So that's future thinking. So I spend most of my life in one of these, but this center dot, the dot where love overcomes fear, is the present moment. If I'm in the present moment, then I'm connected. This is the God dot. I call it the point of upgrade, upgrading my mental condition to God's presence, to consciousness, to higher power. And if I'm in that present moment, that's where God is. That's where I get my direction. That's where I can turn over my will in my life. If I'm in fear in the future and anxiety and I'm not enough, God's not there. I can't turn over anything because I'm in charge. I'm trying to figure out how to make things happen. And if I'm in the past, I'm in regrets. I'm in resentments. God's not in regrets and resentments. That stuff is past. It's gone the minute it happens. God is in the present moment, and that's where I connect. So I use this all the time. I'm constantly, and I have this visual in my head that says, get on the point of upgrade, Marie. Okay, how do I get there? Get in the present. Get in the present moment and get clear. So where am I? Okay, am I in the past or am I in the future? Am I hacked off at somebody and therefore in resentment? That's past. Am I in regret about something? My life didn't turn out well, or I didn't get what I thought I was going to get in life, or my kids aren't turning out the way I thought they should. You know, that's all the past. How can I get out of that past thinking? Well, what I do is I look around me. Okay, get grounded in all my senses. What can I touch? I can touch my big book. And what can I see? And what can I hear? I hear my son playing his flute in the other room. Getting present about what's going on around me and then closing my eyes in that present moment and feeling God and feeling, because that opens the path. I'm willing to be in the present moment and be with this higher power and trust that this higher power is benevolent and always, always looking for my highest good. So I will say that I get stuck. You know, it's easy to get stuck and fall down. And it's important in the moment that I fall down to make the decision right then, because am I going to shame about what a failure I am when I fall down? Or am I going to a decision to say, if I line my thoughts with God and don't get stuck in this failure and shame business, then I will remember who I am and I can pick it up. I have so many sponsees who take weeks and weeks once they have a relapse or they have a problem or they act out or whatever. And they're even ashamed to call me, you know, and I'm the resource that helps them remember who they are because I'm the one that's connected to God when they can't be. But our shame is so great that we can't sometimes even call for help. And fellowship is where we get that help. We get it with our sponsors. We get it with our other fellows. OA is a powerful fellowship, more so than any other program I've been in. We need to be talking to each other. And we have so many people who share the same experience. But we're so afraid because in the moment of... of being a human, and falling down, I forget who I am and I go back into control. And then I go into shame, I go into failure, I go into thinking, and then that's what expands. And it takes a while to get out, but it doesn't have to. It can take a moment to get out by stopping, getting present, and pulling God in. So I try my best to accept with grace those thoughts that throw me back into the past thinking, the past fear, and the future fear, the anxiety. I probably stay in future fear more than I do in past fear, because I'm always thinking about how am I going to, you know, I need $400,000 for college in 5 years. I haven't started saving yet. I need this. I need that. How am I going to provide for my family? And I can't do that. I can't do that and be connected with God. I need to have faith and trust that this is going to happen because I am in line with this consciousness and this flow. And whatever comes out of me that is God is going to flow back to me. And it's all already okay. No matter where I am, it's all okay. I'm an imperfect human being, and I'm also already a perfect spiritual being. And I don't want to get too perfect too fast, because, you know, then that's when, you know, I probably have to transition and ascend. You know, I won't need this physical body anymore. And I'm kind of liking, you know, I like this worldly experience. I like living here. So as long as I'm still having something to learn, I get to stay here. So if I look at all of my suffering and upsets and struggles as God's message to me for the next work that I need to do, then it's always a gift. It's all a gift. I got my next assignment. Yay, I get to stay. I get to stay and do some more work in this marriage, in this family. I get to be with my children. I get to be with my fellows. And so I have to have that self-love to say, yeah, I'm going to fall because I'm human. I'm going to fall. And I need to get up and in that moment, reconnect with God. So I need to remember, I think my time is running out. So I'm just going to wrap up so we can do some questions. I am an extension of God. I am an extension of the power, the source of all good, of all abundance. I am all love. When I make a decision to align myself with the power, and when I don't, I am the block. And I can easily and in this instant remove the block and realign and remind myself, I am the extension of love. I am the extension of the power. I am the extension of God. I am the source of all good when I'm connected. I already have everything I need and desire when I'm connected. I am enough. I'm doing enough. And I have enough. And with that, I'm going to pass and let people give me some questions if you want. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you so much.